Good afternoon. I am Chrissy Hewitt, and this is Ears on Art here on KCBX Public Radio. Co-host Stephen DeLuque and I produce this twice monthly program, and our focus is the visual arts. Today's guest is Mae Wilson, a printmaker who has grown up here on the Central Coast and is about to move to the Midwest to continue her education. More on that later. As you will hear, Mae is interested in many things and brings a lot of wonderful energy to not only her art, but just her enjoyment of discovery. Her infectious laugh is part of that, too. Here now is Mae Wilson.
Hi, I'm Mae. I work mostly in printmaking, woodblock, Japanese woodblock, etching, and I'm going more and more narrative. So I'm becoming very interested in cartoons and sequential art and illuminated novels and all those kinds of things, putting writing with words. It's really fun showing people like how it works, pulling something through the press where things get squished with incredible pressure, showing them the tools, showing them the different ways. Basically, when you're making prints, you're taking a drawing and making it as complicated as you possibly can. And then it, yes, spawns.
Complicated in its imagery or complicated in how it
comes together. Yeah, turning everything backwards, upside down, making the positive negative, making the negative positive, carving everything out of wood or etching it in metal, so that you can basically have multiples of the same image, basically taking it and, but making each one a little bit different. That's something that I like to do. Like, I don't like them to look exactly the same. You have one foot in the commercial world, one foot in the art. And I think making them a little bit individual, that brings it more into the art world.
So it's the two different color tennis shoes. Buy two pair and wear one on each foot kind of
thing.
Is
that what it is?
Oh, I don't know. I'm just throwing that out as an image.
I don't know about that. It just, I'm always trying to push it. Like, I'll make a print and I'll be like, okay, this part looks cool. This looks a little bit too light. This could go a little bit darker. And then I'll, like, try to print it in a slightly different way, or I'll adjust the pressure, or I'll adjust the colors. So basically evolving it. Like, each time I do a print or each time I make a drawing, I think I feel like in some ways you're having to learn how to draw or print this image for the first time. I don't know. Does that make any sense?
Yes, it does. Yeah. And okay. If we start, again, going backwards from here, where did art start for you?
There not been art? I don't know. I've been always making something. I've always been the person, I was the kid who drew. Like, I guess that was my identity and that was my thing. And so that I always wanted to be an artist. I was always reading. I was so mad when I was a kid. I'd go to recess and they wouldn't let me into the library. I couldn't read all recess. I was like, so maybe I'd go and I'd like, me and the other kids would like build stuff in the sand instead. It's just, that's always, you know, what I've done. It's always been an impulse.
I know that you went to UC Santa Cruz.
Yes.
Is that where you started learning about printmaking, or that started before?
No, I started printmaking when I was 9. I think I took a class at what was back then the Art Center. Now it's SLOMA. I still always wanted to call it the Art Center, but yes. I took a linoblock class, and I was really unhappy with how it came out. You can't hold a lot of detail in linoleum. And I didn't really know what I was doing. And I was just like, this is stupid. I'm going to make it work. And I was also very interested in etching starting when I was like 10 or 12. Because I saw the little lines in there. And I was like, and the little tiny lines and those little details. And that preciseness. I was like, whoa, I want to do that. So that was kind of what got me into it. And now, as I said, I'm more interested in the fact that you could, the reproduction, the very rich history, starting, you know, with these Chinese woodblock texts, and they'd like hand carve each page, and then going to movable type, the Gutenberg press, and basically how that spread out across the world. I think going into digital printing now, basically like the little printer you have sitting on your table at home. That's kind of a great, 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 grandchild of these dinosaurs that I like to play with. Yeah.
So I know that you had worked some, but I'm not sure at what stage, with Barbara and Rosie Rosenthal.
Yes. I think I met them when I was about 11. We had a drawing monster class. So they've really been my mentors, and I started printmaking with them. And they're everywhere. Whenever I talk to an artist, I'll ask, like, do you know the Rosenthals? And they're like, yes, we do. Yeah.
Then eventually you went to college, and, yeah, and I mean, art was the major, but printmaking was the focus? Or
yes,
did you do a lot of things?
One of the really valuable things I got there was I really became interested in ideas for their own sake. Like, I read a lot of fiction when I was a kid, and then taking these classes on biology or history and sociology and philosophy and all these things, or even mathematics, I was like, wow, there's so much that's going on in the world. There's so much that's cool. There's so much that's very interesting. And that started really hitting home in my art. And I started, like, exploring different concepts, like, what if I, conceptual art, like, what if I could make an infinity dollar bill? What if you had, like, a corn god who's just, like, this beefed up version of corn that's being grown now, that's in everything? So, and I met people, I started having conversations with people who are interested in these ideas, and that was an incredibly valuable experience for me, I'd say. After college, I found a job where I was just, like, basically study for a living, and I start getting interested in history, and that comes in Art Deco. And so really, I like just absorbing things and putting them together in different ways and seeing what comes out of that and tinkering. So, yeah.
Talk about tinkering. It's a great word.
I don't know. I was interested in where ideas came from. Now I'm very interested in how to put them together in a way that you could communicate with other people and get them excited about it too. So I've been playing with digital art and making pieces like on apples, but though this is not answering your question, I'm trying to think right in the meantime.
You're doing
this
fine.
Anyway, and playing with the different ways information is compressed, expanded, how you could look at the surface of something, how you could put it to get, take it apart and put it together in different ways, because apples are a symbol of knowledge in Western culture, of course. You know, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right. Apple computers. It kind of crops up again and again and again. I'm also kind of playing with the idea of mapping, charting, graphing, I'm working on this massive woodblock now. Well, not as massive as it can get, but like 4 feet tall. About like the basically sort of the general themes that are shared throughout stories, throughout human experience. Trying to put those together in one way. Though, of course, you could put them together in a million different ways and have them all work. Like the alphabet.
I'm realizing, just listening to you, it is making more and more sense why you have spent the last, what, almost 2 years plus as a Hearst Castle tour guide.
Yeah, I like explaining things.
Well, I know from someone else that it's not an easy position to attain. In other words, you really have to learn a whole lot of things in the process of becoming a tour guide. It does not just, oh, we think you'll do it.
No, I love it. But one of the things I think that was most valuable for me there is storytelling. I've always been interested in writing and reading. I've never really known how to go about it. I've never had any really good writing classes that have just made me go, yes, okay, this shows me exactly what I want to do and how to do it. But basically, I go over there and it's kind of like a lab where you get these groups of people. They come from, you have no idea where they're coming from, what they're interested in hearing about. And you have to tell them a story and connect with things that they're interested in and what they find valuable and what they care about, and organizing information in a way that makes sense. So, and speaks to them and is relevant. So it's kind of an apprenticeship and sharing stories with people. And I'm very lucky to have something that's allows me to be creative, and also it's not just sitting in a walled garden. I've never wanted that. Yeah. And I work to be out there, like, doing something that's good for humanity or the world, or sparks curiosity, or creates conversations, or, yeah.
And with the storytelling aspect, and obviously as you're moving from location to location with a group of people, there is a sequencing of things. Is there a connection in its own way with how you process a print?
I always thought of it more like comics. Like, you're the caption, and then here's all this cool stuff that they're looking at, right? I do like things where you have change, and you're doing different things, and they're all connected together, but they're not the same. Like, you've got some variation. So, I get bored more easily than Bev, basically.
I'm thinking, as I have made connections sometimes, my growing up at my mother's elbow in the kitchen and the different types of things that taught me about sequencing, especially if I was making baked goods.
Yeah.
You can't start at the wrong end of the recipe and have it come out.
Yeah.
Or at least not how you want it to come out.
Oh, you just make one little mistake, like your brain goes off. Your brain goes off track for just a moment, and then you're just like, there's 8 hours of work down the drain. It's like, darn it. Or maybe you could save it, but it involves hours of filing or burnishing or putting things back together. It's just like, oh, no. Like,
I mean, you're in a business, especially with etching too, but certainly with woodblocks. Once you cut, you've cut.
Yeah, it's permanent. So when I have a piece, I'm writing backwards, and I have to check all the spelling. Because once you write something out, there's no going back. It's etched in metal, or it's carved in wood.
And the backwards is the fact that you have the plate, the paper, or whatever you're printing on goes on top of it. And when you open that back the other way, then you're seeing what was on the plate. So you are having
image.
To think backwards.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Backwards, upside down, inside out.
Right.
Yeah.
Last week's guest, Beverly Brown, has a question for her friend, Mae Wilson.
I wonder if you still do carving in linoleum.
I still do relief printing, usually now with Sheena wood. Which is a softer wood with a nice grain, so you're not getting splinters everywhere when you carve. Big prints out of birch wood. I just this last year or so have learned Japanese woodblock printing, which is very different. You get this beautiful watercolor effect, but it's a lot more finicky and a lot more temperamental. So I've been having a lot of fun with that because you can get these translucents, basically. And the carving style is very different in the registering style, which is basically where you have different color and you want to make sure your yellow and your red and your blue, they all overlap so that they're not just all over the place, but they're working together.
Because those are each put on a different pass through the press.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Don't have enough time to go through all of that process again. We have had the pleasure of talking with the Rosenthals and with some others about that in the past.
Yeah.
So we'll have to let that one
out
there.
We'll slide on that one, yeah. We'll talk about something else, but yeah. But I took that class on a Japanese woodblock, and I was just like, I went up to like Berkeley and then back in the week, and I'd have to be back to work. I'd have to go back up and drive like 3 weekends in a row. So good time to visit people, but that was pretty grueling.
Now you're about to head off to a new adventure.
Yeah.
Not only are you starting to go back to school, which will be as a graduate student, but in a whole different part of the country.
Yeah, I'm going to Wisconsin. It has the best. I'm going studying art at UW-Madison, so I'm going to get my MFA there. And I was looking at different art schools. I was looking at different schools that offered printmaking, sequential art and stuff. And this one was by far like the best fit. I was just like, yeah.
I remember when I let people know that I was going to Michigan for graduate school. And hands down, the response was, why there? It snows.
Yes, I'm getting that, oh, it's going to be cold. You know it's going to be cold. Really? Oh, it's going to be, you're going to be so cold over there. I have started stocking up on winter clothes, though, so, yeah.
I mean, all of those things to me are just a wonderful way to understand the world that much better. And if you've grown up in one place pretty much all your life, as I had, even though I'd traveled a lot,
yes,
you know, living someplace else created a whole wonderful window.
Oh, yeah. I love slow, but I'm very eager to go out and live other places and explore other places and travel and just meet people. Yeah. Just walking around a strange city in a place where you're not from. I went over there. I'm like, there's so much brick. Like, we don't do that in California.
No, we don't.
And so many basements.
Yeah, basements are cool. I, in fact, often literally relatives in Connecticut, and I remember going, whoa, we don't have one of these.
Yes.
We didn't have stairs either. I lived in a one-story house, so all sorts of things. But I think it really serves us well when we're able to enjoy it, whether it's with travel or the ability to live someplace else for a while or just experience it. And Wisconsin is a beautiful state, but it's also going to be a lot different.
And then I hope I could maybe, like, if I get the chance to live in another country at least for a little while, I'm going. Yeah.
Well, it all seems very exciting, and I am thrilled that you are off to Wisconsin and can't wait to see what comes back.
Yeah.
As a person and as art.
Yes. Put together in all new ways. Yeah.
Bring us back some cheese.
I'm vegan, so you could eat all the cheese.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Right. I actually did that when I have a good friend who's offered to be available to May if she needs any TLC or just sort of a home away from the dorm or wherever else she's living.
Super sweet, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I got to have the cheese curds, which squeak literally when you chew them. So,
what?
But it was fairly uninteresting cheese because it's so unaged. It's just...
It's really, really mild.
Bland.
Yeah, in this case.
I'll go for the beer.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you won't go for the bratwurst and you won't go for the cheese. So what's the point of being in Wisconsin?
The program.
Well, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Krissa.
For those not familiar with the MFA, Master of Fine Arts degree, it is a 2-year program for the visual and the performing arts. There are PhDs in art history, but for most artists, the MFA is the maximum degree that they can achieve in the university system. You have been listening to Ears on Art here on KCBX Public Radio. Our guest today has been May Wilson. Born and raised on the Central Coast, young artist, printmaker, graduate of UC Santa Cruz, and on her way to her Master of Fine Arts program at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Yes, she knows it's going to be cold, but many a Californian has found that this isn't the worst thing that can happen. Co-host Stephen DeLuque and I, Krissa Hewitt, will be back next month with 2 more segments of Ears on Art. Until then, keep your eyes open for many wonderful things that happen around this county that you can take part in the arts, visual and performing. And as always, Stephen DeLuque and I thank you so much for listening.